Chapter 10. When you were very small, perhaps someone read to you the insipid story. The word insipid here means not worth reading to someone, of the boy who cried wolf. A very dull boy, you may remember, cried wolf when there was no wolf, and the gullible villagers ran to rescue him, only to find the whole thing was a joke. Then he cried wolf when it wasn't a joke, and the villagers didn't come running, and the boy was eaten, and the story, thank goodness, was over. The story's moral, of course, ought to be, never live somewhere where wolves are running around loose, but whoever read you the story probably told you that the moral was not to lie. This is an absurd moral, for you and I both know that sometimes not only is it good to lie, it is necessary to lie. For example, it was perfectly appropriate, after Violet left the reptile room, for Sunny to crawl over to the cage that held the incredibly deadly viper, unlatch the cage, and begin screaming as loudly as she could, even though nothing was really wrong. There is another story concerning wolves that somebody has probably read to you, which is just as absurd. I am talking about Little Red Riding Hood, an extremely unpleasant little girl, who, like the boy who cried wolf, insisted on intruding on the territory of dangerous animals. You will recall that the wolf, after being treated very rudely by Little Red Riding Hood, ate the little girl's grandmother and put on her clothing as a disguise. It is this aspect of the story that is the most ridiculous, because one would think that even a girl as dim-witted as Little Red Riding Hood could tell in an instant the difference between her grandmother and a wolf dressed in a nightgown and fuzzy slippers. If you know somebody very well, like your grandmother or your baby sister, you will know when they are real and when they are fake. This is why, as Sunny began to scream, Violet and Klaus could tell immediately that her scream was absolutely fake. "That scream is absolutely fake," Klaus said to himself from the other end of the reptile room. "That scream is absolutely fake," Violet said to herself from the stairs as she went up to her room.
"My lord, something is terribly wrong,"
Mr. Poe said to himself from the kitchen where he was talking on the phone. "Goodbye," he said into the receiver, hung up, and ran out of the kitchen to see what the matter was.
"What's the matter?"
Mr. Poe asked Stefano and Dr. Lucafont, who had finished unloading the suitcases and were entering the house.
"I heard some screams coming from the reptile room."
"I'm sure it's nothing," Stefano said.
"You know how children are," Dr. Lucafont said.
"We can't have another tragedy on our hands," Mr. Poe said, and rushed to the enormous door of the reptile room. "Children! Children! In here!" Klaus cried. "Come quickly!"
His voice was rough and low, and anyone who didn't know Klaus would think he was very frightened. If you did know Klaus, however, you would know that when he was very frightened, his voice became tense and squeaky, as it did when he discovered Uncle Monty's body. His voice became rough and low when he was trying not to laugh. It is a very good thing that Klaus managed not to laugh as Mr. Poe, Stefano, and Dr. Lucafont came into the reptile room. It would have spoiled everything.